Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Broner versus Mydonna conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference call over to your host for today, Kelly Swanson. Kelly, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you so much, operator. Thanks, everybody, for calling in on this Monday. We really appreciate it. This call is to talk about this fantastic undercard, the undercard of the Adrian Broner and Marcos Maidana fight, which is December 14th from the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. We're going to start off today with Cesar Seda and Leo Santa Cruz, and then immediately following their comments and your questions for them, we will turn it over to Keith Thurman and Jesus Soto Carras. Also joining me is Eric Gomez, who will serve as our translator. And to get the call going, I'm going to introduce Richard Schaefer, Chief Executive Officer, Golden Boy Promotions. Richard?
Thank you, Kelly. And before I get started to talk about this sensational card, I just want to make another quick comment. There were some great fights this weekend. We had pound-for-pound number two, Andre Ward, looking quite spectacular in defending his world title. But there was another fight which really stole the weekend. We had Kelly Swanson look more than spectacular in her first victory. And I know she said it's going to be a one-off. I'm trying to talk her into signing with Golden Boy and have offered her a very lucrative contract. So we'll see. But she was just devastating in her pro debut this past weekend. So congratulations, Kelly. talking about devastating, this is the best card we've ever put together, Danger Zone. It's Broner and Maidana, but it's not just Broner and Maidana, which really I believe it still is a pay-per-view worthy fight, especially if you team it up with three other world title fights, Keith Thurman and Jesus Soto Carras, Leo Santa Cruz, Cesar Seda, and Beibut Shumanov defending his WBA Super World Heavyweight, his light heavyweight title against Tomas Kovacs. So for this card to be able to be enjoyed for free live on Showtime is just absolutely spectacular. And I want to say a big, big thank you for Steven Espinosa and everyone at Showtime and CBS Networks for coming up with the required financial contributions to obviously get this fight card going. I want to thank very much as well our partners in San Antonio, Mike Bata and James Lecha from Lecha Bata Promotions. They're doing a terrific job as always. We have set the Alamo Dome for 30,000 people, and well over 10,000 tickets sold already. Ticket prices are available for as little as $10. As little as $10. I mean, that's less than a movie ticket. $25, $50, $75, $100, $150, $200, and $250. I think that the $250s are already sold out. So, make sure, write about, tell your readers and listeners and so on that this great, great fight card, for as little as $10, you can go and enjoy it. I want to thank our sponsors, Corona, AT&T, and our latest edition, Casamigos Tequila, a fast-growing tequila brand, which is co-owned by some, it's a celebrity-owned tequila company owned by George Clooney, and Grudmatch, the coming out movie, great movie, which will be in the theaters on December the 25th, Grudmatch. So I want to thank all of the sponsors. The fight will be televised live on Showtime Championship Boxing, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I really can't wait for all of those fights. Even the non-televised portion with Ricardo Alvarez, Saul's brother, against Rod Salka, Jamel Herring, Robert Easter, Rasheed Warren. I mean, it's just an all-star lineup. And there is a special other treat there. Jermaine Taylor will be fighting against JC Candelo on that card as well. So really a terrific lineup a little bit of everything, and I think the perfect ending to what I consider to have been the best year of boxing since I've been involved back in 2000. Just an absolutely terrific year with great, great fights. Talking about great fights, we have today Leo Santa Cruz and Cesar Serra on the call. This is the classic Mexican-Puerto Rican matchup. Cesar Serra has a record of 25-1 with 17 knockouts. He's of San Juan, Puerto Rico, promoted by Miguel Cotto Promotions and Golden Boy. He won the WBA, Fed Caribe, and NBO titles before having his one loss, which was against WBO champion Omar Narvaez in 2011. Since then, the 27-year young Seda has gone up in weight and won 5 bouts straight, 2 by knockout, earning him now a fight for the world title against Leo Santa Cruz on December the 14th. It's a pleasure for me now to introduce to you Cesar Serra. Cesar?
Cesar, ¿puedes
sí, hola.
Unos comentarios, por favor?
¿Cómo?
¿Puedes decir unas palabras, por favor?
Sí, buenas tardes a todos. Y de verdad que les quiero dar gracias a De La Hoya, a Richard Serper y a Leo Santa Cruz por la oportunidad que me brindaron. Y de verdad que esta es la pelea que estaba esperando contra Leo Santa Cruz para demostrar mi talento y demostrar que de verdad que hay cría y talidad en Puerto Rico todavía.
He said, good afternoon to everybody. First of all, I want to thank Oscar and Richard for this opportunity. I also want to thank Leo Santa Cruz. This is the fight I was waiting for. This is the fight that I'm going to prove that there's still a lot of talent in Puerto Rico. So thank you very much.
Great, thank you. So I'm going to be introducing you to now a fighter which doesn't need much introduction. He is one of the most action-packed fighters in any weight class. He has a record of 25-0 with 15 KOs, originally from Huetamo, Mexico, now living in Los Angeles. He broke into the international boxing scene in June 2012, when he won the IBF Phantomweight World Championship with a 12-round decision over Wusi Malinga. And then he went on to defend the title 3 times in 2012 with exciting wins over Eric Morel, Victor Saletto, and Alberto Guevara, the last one being the highest-watched boxing event over the last 12 months. It was aired live on CBS network following the Butler Indiana basketball game. Over 1.8 million homes were watching that fight, and really elevated Leo Santa Cruz to even higher levels. He then faced Alexander Munoz on May 4th in Las Vegas on the big card with Mayweather and Canelo, and then with a TKO in the fifth round, continuing his undefeated record. Most recently, Leo Santa Cruz earned the WBC Super Bantamweight Championship after a knockout win for former champion Victor Terraza here at the StubHub Center in Carson, Los Angeles. As I said, his accomplishments in the ring are absolutely amazing, but outside of the ring, as I said so many times, he really is one of my favorite fighters. He's just a terrific, terrific young man, and it's a pleasure for me to introduce to you the WBC Super Bantamweight World Champion, Leo Santa Cruz.
Yeah, thank you, Richard, for all your words. They mean a lot to me. Thank you very much. I want to say hello to everyone, and I really want to say that thanks to Richard, to Golden Boy, Showtime, my manager, Al Heyman, to all the people that have been making this possible. I'm just very happy, and I'm ready. I'm ready for December 14th. I'm getting ready already, like, for a month and a half, 2 months. I've been training, and I just want the December 14th to come so I could show everybody all Texas and what I got, and I guess very motivated and ready for December 14th.
Great. Thank you very much, Leo. We are going to open it up now for questions for the media. If you guys have any questions for Leo Santa Cruz or Cesar Seda, please go ahead. Operator?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And our first question comes from Jake Donovan with BoxingScene.com.
Okay, yeah, I got questions for everyone. But first, Kelly, I just want to congratulate you on all your success this weekend and just for everything you do in the sport. I mean, this is just one more footnote. It's, you know, it's really inspiring.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, first my question is for Richard. Richard, this card in San Antonio, I'm not sure, quite sure how to word it, but has this motivated other cities to get in touch with you? I mean, because you've really helped build San Antonio into a fight town, so I just want to know, like, if the plan is just to look for other areas in 2014 to just keep it going throughout the country.
You know, we started with San Antonio when we did some of the Fox shows, and this has been a process with James and with Mike Bassa, James Lecker and Mike Bassa, for the last couple of years. And then, obviously, the goal was to bring big fights, world championship fights, on a regular basis. And the key word here is regular basis to San Antonio. That's how you develop a market. And obviously, with the kind of turnout we have, it has worked. We've done exactly the same in Brooklyn, New York, where a lot of people felt like a West Coast, Los Angeles-based promotional company, how can they capture that market? But the key word, again, is consistency, and to have partners in those markets which share the same vision and are passionate about the sport. With Mike and with James, we have those partners in Texas which are passionate about the sport and are willing to invest in the sport as well. And the same is true for the Barclays Center with Brett Yormark, the CEO, passionate about the sport. And the same is here at the Staples Center with AEG, Dan Beckerman, the CEO of AEG, passionate about the sport. That's why you've seen these markets develop the way they are. But there are many other markets which I believe are like waiting to be host on a regular basis for boxing. And it's a matter of finding the right local promoters and friends and partners to develop those markets. But for example, I can see a Chicago being one of the next targets for us. But again, we want to have the right partners, loyal partners, who want to work with us.
Okay, thanks, Leverage. That was a fantastic answer. Okay, my first question, Cesar Seda, I know you moved up to 122 a couple of years ago. I just want to know what difference it's been for you since moving up from 115, and if there's anyone that you feel compares to Leo Santa Cruz in terms of the volume of punches that he throws.
Okay, la pregunta, Cesar, la pregunta es para ti, ¿cómo se siente estar peleando en un peso más alto, 122 libras, y has peleado con alguien que tira tantos golpes como Leo Santa Cruz?
De verdad que nunca he peleado con un hombre que tire tantos golpes como Leo Santa Cruz, pero he peleado con gente fuerte y pegadora y que vienen para el frente. Pero eso de verdad que es una de las peleas más importantes de mi vida, una pelea de los rivales más fuertes que voy a encontrarla ahora con Leo Santa Cruz, y eso es lo que quiero demostrarle a mi gente, que tenemos el talento y la fuerza para la presión que venga.
¿Y cómo se siente estar peleando en 122?
De verdad que nosotros venimos desde 118 hace poco, y igual que Leo Santa Cruz subió de 118 a 122, nosotros estamos estudiando desde viéndolo pelear y viéndolo desde que está subiendo, desde las 118 libras. Se coronó campeón mundial en 18 y subió en 22. Y de verdad que yo me siento mucho más fuerte en 122 libras, más pegador. Y de verdad que eso lo van a ver en esa noche.
Okay, so the answer was, I moved up in weight kind of like Leo did. Leo was the champion at 118. He moved up to 122. And I'm also moved up. I kept my eye on him. And the truth is, I feel a lot stronger at 122. I feel a lot stronger, and I'm going to prove it on the night of the fight. And as far as Leo's style, he said, no, I've never fought anybody that throw so many punches. But I have fought guys that are very strong, aggressive, and punchers. I want to prove that, you know, I have the talent and the power to beat a Leo Santa Cruz and to compete in this division, and it's the most important fight of my life.
Okay, thanks. I'm sorry, Eric, I just have one more question to translate. This one will be shorter. My apologies for the last one being a mouthful. Cesar, he noted earlier that he wants to prove that there's plenty of talent in Puerto Rico. Does that add any pressure to this fight other than, you know, he said he had Leo on his radar all this time, so...
Obviamente tú quieres una victoria para Puerto Rico, quieres probar que tú tienes el talento y que Puerto Rico tiene el talento. ¿Eso te da más presión en esta pelea?
No, de verdad que ahora mismo Puerto Rico se está quedando sin campeones, no tenemos campeones y voy con esa hambre y con esa ansia de ya que llegue el 14 de diciembre para demostrarle a mi gente que podemos, que vamos a tener otro nuevo campeón mundial.
No, not at all. In fact, it motivates me and it gives me hunger. Right now in Puerto Rico, there's not too many champions. There's not too many champions, and I want to prove that we have the talent and we can compete and be champions. So I have hunger, and I can't wait for December 14th.
Okay, great. Thanks, Eric. Cesar, thanks for that. Leo, I kind of got the same question for you, just how you feel since moving up to 122. You had a spectacular year last year, but I noticed against Guevara, you kind of looked a little sluggish. Was it just because you fought so much in 2012, or was it just that it was time to move up in weight?
No, I think at 122, I feel stronger. I could eat better. Everything is good. I didn't have that much problem going up to making 118. The only thing that for the Guevara fight, it was because I fought in November, and then in December again, it was, I think, like a month. I didn't really have that much time to train, and probably my body was tired. I didn't let the body recover. So I think that was the main problem right there, that I didn't let the body rest. So that's why I look kind of tired and sluggish. But rather than that, I feel stronger, 122, and I feel stronger. And the weight is way better. I create a little more, and I've been drinking good vitamins and everything, so I feel strong and sparring. I feel great, too.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot, Leo. Best of luck, everyone, next week. And my apologies. I mean next month, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Right.
Our next question comes from Lem Satterfield with TheRingTV.com.
My first question is for Cesar Seda, picking up on what he said about Puerto Rico not having any champions. How much pressure does he feel, given that he's fighting a really tough guy in Leo Santa Cruz? With all that, you know, that's gone on with the Puerto Rican fighters.
César, la pregunta es para ti, que como tú dices que no hay pelea, no hay campeones actualmente en Puerto Rico. ¿Qué tanta presión tienes tú, sabiendo que tienes enfrente un gran peleador como lo es Leo Santa Cruz y para ser el primero que se corone ahorita actualmente en Puerto Rico?
De verdad que. No llevamos ninguna presión porque para eso estamos trabajando fuerte en el gimnasio, en la pista, en el físico. Y vengo de una experiencia grande que fue por el título mundial en Argentina, por el título mundial contra Omar Narváez, que fue antes de perder mi invicto. Y eso sí que me dio de aprender y cogí mucha experiencia.
No pressure at all, Lem. It's you know, that's what we're working hard for. We're working very hard in the gym. We're working very hard in the conditioning, strengthening. And remember, I fought Narvaez, you know, I lost my undefeated record to him, and that gave me a great deal of experience.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up on that. Narvaez is more of a crafty fighter. Can he compare and contrast what he thinks he'll be able to do with a guy like Santa Cruz who comes to you and will be there, maybe allow him to use his southpaw skills?
Sí, nos podrías dar una comparación, pues porque Narváez es un peleador un poco más movidizo a comparación de Leo, que viene para enfrente, fuerte. ¿Vas a poder usar más tu boxeo y tu guardia zurda?
Sí, de verdad que Omar Narváez es un hombre que tiene mucha experiencia, fue medallista ahora en una olimpiada, y de verdad que es bien incómodo. Nosotros estuvimos ganando los primeros asaltos muy muy cómodamente. Lo que viene pasando que me empezaron a quitar puntos en los golpes bajos, que supuestamente le estábamos dando bajo, y me desesperó un poco, buscar el paro y a buscar un golpe fuerte y me salí de ritmo pelea y de verdad que hemos aprendido mucho.
No, we learned a lot from that fight. You got to understand, Narvaez had a tremendous experience, a great deal of experience. He was an Olympian, and during the fight, you know, we were winning. We were comfortably ahead of the fight, but then they started deducting points, calling low punches, and that frustrated a little bit. It frustrated me a little bit and made me look for just one punch. But we learned a lot from that, gained a lot of experience, and that'll show come the 14th.
Thank you very much. My next questions are for Leo. You there, Leo?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, how you doing?
Leo, many of us who are have been watching you, we just come to expect an exciting fight from you every single time out. No different this time. Do you embrace that pressure? Do you embrace that, and does it make you fight better? Or, you know, do you feel some pressure?
Yeah, that's what I do, feel a little pressure, but that's why I train 100% over here in the gym. I every time I work harder, every time I try to improve because I know the fans and everything, that's what they want to see. And for me to go other times and do what I always do, I have to train 100%, I have to dedicate, and that's what I do. Most of my time I'm in the gym. In the morning I'm in the gym, and then I go home, eat, rest, and then I come back, I do my strength and conditioning, and we could say that I live in the gym because I like to see the fans. I like them talking good things about me. And when I go out there, I like to give them a great show. I never want to disappoint, and I try my best not to do that. Training 100%, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Obviously, you saw what happened to Abner Mahrez, and he feels the same way. He felt like, you know, even when I asked him, should he have held on when he got back up, he says, no, you got to understand, I'm a fighter. Your reaction to his loss, I know you thought maybe you would fight him someday. What is your reaction to his loss, and does that make you kind of understand the sudden nature of this sport and how it can turn on a dime?
Yeah, when the decision happened, I was surprised. I couldn't believe that he got knocked out. I thought he was going to win the fight. But, you know, things happen, and it didn't. The truth, it didn't really affect me. It was just a like quick knockdown that they surprised him. We don't know how it would have gone if it would have come to distance. Maybe he would have won, or if that punch wouldn't have come. So I don't think maybe that fight could still happen between me and him, and nothing has changed. So I think we could still fight.
Last question for you. When was the last time you fought a southpaw? I was trying to look at your record. And do you think his style will be at all difficult for you?
Yeah, the truth is the southpaws are more difficult, their style. But the last time I fought southpaw was Lucy Malinga. That was when I won the IBF title. But I could fight southpaw too. I could get used to their style. And I've been sparring southpaws in the gym. I've been practicing with the right, and I've been doing things that how you have to fight a southpaw. And with my dad here in the corner, He's always learning. He's always looking at the southpaws, and he always knows how to fight each different style. So I think with that, I'll be ready, and I'm prepared for that.
Thanks a lot. Good luck. I'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from John Whisper with the San Antonio Express.
Hey, this question is for Richard. You there, Richard?
Yes, I am.
I saw where on the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation website, you already have a half a dozen dates reserved for next year. That indicates you have a lot of confidence in this market here. Talk about how that came about. I think you touched on it earlier, talking about Mike Bata and Jesse James Leha. What is it about this market that can support that kind of activity?
Well, San Antonio was always a good market for boxing, but I think what we've done together with Mike and with James, we really have taken it to a totally different level. And when I was a couple of weeks ago in San Antonio with all the fighters to do the press conference, I had mentioned it right there when I said that, and I really mean that, that there is Las Vegas, and I'm not –
listing these in any particular order. There is Las Vegas, the MGM, obviously. There is the Staples Center and the StubHub Center in Carson in Los Angeles. There's the Barclays Center in New York. And then there's San Antonio. And I really believe that San Antonio fits and belongs in that group of premier fight towns in the United States. And for us to have been able to develop the market the way we have with our local partners there, with Mike and with James, it is obviously fantastic. And I have that's why we are holding a number of dates for San Antonio. The continuity is extremely important, and we want to continue to bring big world championship fight to San Antonio. One of the guys who I mentioned at the press conference as well, who made it clear to us, who wants to fight there again next year, is Saul Canelo Alvarez. And he felt extremely comfortable and welcome in San Antonio. It's a great fan base, and it's great to come to San Antonio.
How much did his fight against Austin Trout play into this when it drew 40,000 people? Did that really cement San Antonio on the map?
Well, I think it was more than that. You know, you look at Dallas, which had hosted some years back a Pacquiao fight, and then you pretty much don't hear anything about Dallas anymore, or very one-off sort of kind way. Or you remember when Oscar fought in El Paso, and it was a huge crowd. So I think those big fights are important, as but one-offs really are not. You cannot build a market with one-off events, no matter how big they are. Those one-off events, they don't do anything. Are they important in the scope of the entire year, where you're going to bring smaller fights and, you know, and bigger fights, and you need to bring a mix of everything, and that is ultimately much more important than that one-off big fight.
Finally, how important is the Hispanic market in this town and in boxing in general in driving? It's still the bedrock of boxing? Are they still the most important element?
Oh, absolutely. I think the Hispanic market is extremely important to the health of boxing. But we recently had commissioned a study from the leading research company in the United States, Carborough Research, which is they work with Fortune 500 companies. So we had commissioned a research, independent research, to ask them about the demographics of boxing and how boxing is perceived. And the fact is that the Hispanics are important, but I have to tell you, the urban market, the African-American and the urban market, is almost equally important. And I think a lot of people have not really realized that, but there is a reason why a Canelo fight against a Mayweather fight, where you have an urban African-American fighter with Mayweather and a fighter who has a lot of overall general market appeal, and you have him against the most popular fighter from Mexico, Canelo, you have those two, and they break all sort of records. So there are, I think, boxing, it's the Mexicans or the Latinos, it's the urbans, but more and more we see that the general market is getting really behind boxing again in ways we haven't seen it before. We see that with increased sponsor commitments, but we see it as well with the ratings on Fox Sports Live, the Monday Night Boxing Series, which several of those dates are and will be in San Antonio as well. The ratings Fox is getting is double, and I'm not making this stuff up, is double what they expected. So boxing as a sport, I think, is really had a huge, huge comeback here in 2013, the biggest I've seen, and I think San Antonio is a big played a big role there, because if you can bring fights to those kind of venues like San Antonio has, like the Alamo Dome or the basketball arena and all those, and the smaller venues as well, you know, you basically elevate the sport, and I think that's what has happened this year.
Okay, good. Thank you.
No problem.
Our next question comes from A.D. Ibarra with Eagle Pass Daily.
You can pass the Instagram, yes, ma'am. Okay, yes, sir. Richard, was, you know, I guess we're echoing the same sentiment in reference to San Antonio, you know, being a hotbed for boxing, and definitely your undercard is very impressive with Leo Santa Cruz and then the, you know, Keith Thurman, you know, fighting Jesus Soto Caraz. That particular the last fight that y'all had in San Antonio with Omar Figueroa on the undercard, you know, it turned out to be something, you know, absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. You saw, like, the Omar Figueroa against the Japanese kid Arakawa. I mean, that was, like, a fight of the year candidate, and it might very well be the fight of the year. Just an absolutely fantastic fight. And so, yeah, you have great local talent in San Antonio, which is coming along, and again, Mike and James are doing a terrific job there to sort of like keep the pipeline going. And I think what it does as well for a market, when these young kids who are training in the gyms as amateurs and they see that boxing is coming on a regular basis to their town, that is encourages them as well to train even harder and eventually hopefully sign with a Mike Bata and the James Lecha and then with the Golden Boy. So I think that's a big motivator as well, and the big benefit of having big cards on a regular basis in a particular market. I think it's all that is very encouraging, and I think it helps to really grow the sport as well from the roots up by giving these amateurs something to look forward to when they turn pro, that they can fight in their hometowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Figueroa, of course, is from the Texas Valley, and there are good gyms. You know, Leja Batar doing a great job of finding that talent and trying to encourage kids to go into the sport of boxing. But you know, I just want to commend you on you know, it's going to be tough for y'all to, you know, to get undercards, you know, such as the last two or three that you've had. You're going to have to outdo yourself there, Rich.
Well, we like that, you know. We like to outdo ourselves. And when you look at this card, you know, you have a Broner and a Maidana as the main event, but all the other fights really are main events in their own way. How is it that 10,000, over 10,000 tickets are sold, that you're going to have between 20 and 30,000 people there in the Alamo Dome? That doesn't just happen. And I just want to quickly spend a minute on how does that happen. Well, with Mike Bata, you have, with James Lecha, you obviously have a legend in the market who understands boxing and knows boxing, and boxing knows him. But then with Mike Bata, you have one of the most successful business people and entrepreneurs there from the San Antonio area who is passionate about boxing, being fully mm-hmm. behind the sport. So what he does is he takes, when we bring these big cards there, he takes one of his warehouses, hires like 60 people, put 60 desks and phone lines and so on in a big warehouse, and those 60 people are from the morning till the evening nonstop on the phone calling people, selling tickets, getting sponsors involved, and creating a hype. And that is what I call putting the money where your mouth is, and that's Bata. That's Mike Bata. I mean, just an absolutely amazing guy who has a passion for the sport, and what he is doing is really, you know, is just great, great, great for San Antonio.
Congratulations, and we're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Javier Gorbea with Claridad Puerto Rico.
Hi. My first question is for Cesar Seda. Cesar, do you feel you can win a decision in San Antonio, considering that it's going to be a pro Leo Santa Cruz crowd, and sometimes when that happens, every time he throws a punch or lands a punch, people go wild. Do you feel you can win a decision in San Antonio?
La pregunta es para César. César, que puedes ganar.
Yeah.
Texas, obviamente el apoyo debe de ser para Santa Cruz allí en Texas, pero tú sientes que puedes ganar una decisión.
Sí, sabemos que va a ser la casa de Leo Santa Cruz, pero vamos a estar preparados para eso y para mantener el público callado.
Yes, we know and we understand it's going to be pro Santa Cruz, but there's ways to get around that and to keep the crowd out of it.
Mi próxima pregunta es para Leo. ¿Cuáles entiendes tú que son las debilidades y los puntos fuertes de Seba como peleador?
The question is for Leo. Leo, what do you think are the strengths and advantages that Seda has?
Pues no, pues la verdad, pues yo, Seda tiene todo para de un peleador, un gran campeón. Se mueve, tiene buenos golpes, boxea bien, tiene pegada, tiene todo lo que se necesita para ser campeón, pero nosotros también igual nos estamos preparando al 100% para ir y dar una guerra como siempre la da Puerto Rico y México. Lo único que nos vamos a preparar bien, vamos a meterle presión, vamos a ir detrás de él, tirando golpes, metiendo presión y que gane el mejor.
I know that he's a very good fighter. Seda's a very good fighter. He has all the qualities to be a champion. He's a good boxer. He's a good puncher. He can box, punch. He can do a lot. But you know, I'm training very hard. I'm training very, very hard. And any good Mexican, I'm gonna fight against a Puerto Rico, and you know, you're always gonna get a war. So I'm preparing very well for this fight. And the best man wins.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have one more question for these guys, then we'll switch over. Go ahead, operator.
Our last question comes from Sean Craddock with Boxing Socialist.
I got this question for Richard, Cesar, and Leo Santa Cruz. Richard, first of all, with you, you know, being at boxing really isn't on the national TV scene no more, like the ABCs and NBCs and stuff like that. And even though you have brought it to Fox Sports and, you know, for those that cable can watch it, is that one of the terms why y'all decided to bring the ticket prices down, like $10 and $20, because it's working? Are y'all going old school with the prices to help those that they can afford a little bit more to come out and see and show more support?
Well, you want to create an environment where people can take a family and they can take their kids, and that their kids can get excited about going to a big boxing event, sporting event. There are actually very few. I mean, in some of the baseball stadiums, once in a while, you do have these cheap tickets. But other than that, there are very, very few sporting events, period, where you can go and get for $10 to go and see a world championship fight. Now, let alone here, we're talking about four world championship fights. So from a pricing point of view, that must be setting a record in itself. So I think pricing is important, but we didn't really have to go as low as $10. I mean, we could have gone with $20 low for cheapest ticket, and it still would have been extremely inexpensive. But we really want to make a point here that don't blame it that you can't afford it. And if you're a family of four or five or six for $50-$60, you know, you can go and take your family there. And this is what we wanted to do, and that is what we're going to continue to do. And when you go to those bigger venues, then you have the advantage as well that you do have the ticket inventory, the seat inventory, to accommodate fight fans. And I think that's all part of the Golden Boy story, to really bring boxing back one fight at a time.
Okay, great. Well, I'll tell you what, it's working, Richard. I got more friends and stuff to actually come out now. Taylor, the question I have for you was, in your loss to Omar Navarez, what did you learn from that fight that's going to help you in this fight?
La pregunta es para César. César, cuando tú perdiste con Narvaje, ¿qué fue lo que aprendiste en esa derrota que te va a ayudar para esta pelea con Santa Cruz?
De verdad que aprendí a seguir mi ritmo de pelea, no desconcentrarme y seguir la pelea y el ritmo que hemos practicado durante todo este tiempo.
What I learned from that fight is to keep my rhythm and keep my game plan. Basically, don't get discouraged and just keep the game plan and keep the rhythm and volume of punches.
Right, and with that, Stacey, you know, you're pretty big for bantamweight, super bantamweight at 118, 122. With that, you know, you're 5'6", but, you know, Leo is actually inch taller than you and got same, you know, pretty good reach as you. Like, how do you plan on outworking and out-punching Leo, because he's merciless when he gets missed, like he doesn't stop punching?
Obviamente, tú mides 5'6", pero Leo es todavía un poco más alto que tú eres. ¿Cómo es que puedes trabajar duro para ganarle a Santa Cruz? Obviamente Santa Cruz tira muchos golpes. ¿Cómo se le puede ganar un peleador así? ¿Tú puedes dar tanto también?
También. Sí, yo tengo la herramienta, la habilidad y la fortaleza para parar un peleador así, y esa noche lo van a ver.
Yes, I got the tools, the smarts, and the ability to beat a fighter like him, and you're just going to have to wait and see, December 14th.
Right, and last question is for Leo Santa Cruz. Leo, if anybody at Washington State knows that he's a precision body puncher, and, you know, even though a couple of times a ref will take a point away saying he hit kind of low, you go back and replay, he does hit kind of close to the belt line, but he's really good at taking that body out. Do you expect him to do that to you, to take you out and take you into deep waters? And what do you feel about him being almost as tall as you and having as well as a long arm reach as you?
Well, no, the truth is I like fighting taller guys than me or the same as me. I think it's easier for me to hit them and to go out there and fight better because I have fought with shorter people and it's a lot difficult to fight shorter people. It's hard, they move a lot, and it is hard to find their head. But to fight somebody as tall as me and almost the same, I think it makes a much great fight, and it's better for both of us because we see the fans and we give them what they want, a better show. And if he comes to work the body, I think it's going to be even better for me because I let people to stay there and bang. And if he does that, we're both going to go at it and we give it a war. And I think that fight is not going to finish. It's not going to go the distance. It's not going to go to 12 rounds. If he stays there and bang, try to go to the body, I don't think it's going to go the distance. It's going to finish before the 12 rounds.
Awesome.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. That was all my questions.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much to the two fighters, to Leo and to Cesar. We'll see you guys in a few weeks down in San Antonio. Continue training hard, and I know it will be a great battle. I know that Cesar Seda is coming to win the title, and I know that Leo Santa Cruz will be in a great shape and will continue to build his legend as one of the best fighters in the sport. So with having said that, we are going to be moving on now to the semi-main event. Do we have Keith and Jesus Soto Corazza on the call?
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
We have Keith, are you on the phone?
Jesus is on the call.
Okay.
Aquí estoy. Soto Corazza, aquí está.
Okay, and Keith, are you on the phone as well?
One arm is present.
Okay, excellent. Wow, now talking about fights, I like to see, this one is right there. I mean, Keith Thurman against Jesus Soto Corazza is, I think, a fight fan's, a sport fan's dream. With Keith Thurman, we have one of the most devastating knockout artists in the sport, and with Jesus Soto Corazza, we have a fighter who has turned around his career, is flying high, and is building win after win after win, and fighting for a world title here now against Keith Thurman is the payoff he has been waiting for. First, I'd like to introduce to you Jesus Soto Corazza from the Mexican boxing hotbed Los Mochis, Sinaloa, Mexico. Clearly one of the most respected veterans in the sport. Had some classic fights over the last few years, going toe-to-toe with the likes of Marcos Maidana and Andre Berto. The Berto fight in July was particularly important for him, as the 12-round technical knockout win was, by the way, his fourth in his last five bouts, earned him the world title he has craved ever since turning pro in 2001. So on December the 14th, Soto Corazza promises that he won't let his chance at the championship glory, slip away. He is ready to show Keith Thurman what he's all about. It's a pleasure for me now to introduce to you a true Mexican warrior, Jesus Soto Corazza.
Hola, muy buenas tardes.
Adelante.
Paquia, pues buenas tardes. Muchas gracias por tenerme aquí en esta conferencia. Estamos muy bien. Vamos terminando de entrenar ahorita aquí en el gimnasio de Ponce León. Y sí, listo para la guerra este 14 de diciembre contra Keith Thurman.
He says, good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for having me on this call. I just finished training. I'm training here at the Ponce de Leon Boxing Gym. And I'm ready. I'm preparing well, and I'm ready for a war on December 14th.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm going to be introducing now Keith, one-time Terman. Before I'm going to do that, I just want to quickly mention something. I'm reading everywhere that this one fighter is the most avoided one and is the new superstar and has the highest knockout ratio of any fighter and, you know, is being basically elevated into that status. And I know you know who I'm talking about, Gennady Golovkin, with a knockout ratio of 89.3%. And, you know, it's maybe the old banker in me when it comes to numbers. I thought something doesn't add up because we have a fighter here, I think, who is as much avoided as Golovkin and who actually has a higher knockout ratio than Golovkin, and that is Keith One Time Thurman with a record of 21-0 with 19 knockouts. That's a 90.5% knockout ratio. So he is, and I know Eric Gomez can attest to that. It's not an easy thing to find an opponent for Keith Thurman. Everybody sort of like is afraid, I guess, but not Soto Karas. Keith One Time Thurman, a former amateur standout which compiled over 100 wins, has been on a tier since returning in 2012 from an injury forced layoff, and he has made a statement with his trio of recent victories. And here he is on December the 4th. It's always a special treat. You want to make sure you have your popcorn or your beer or whatever you're going to have. You're going to be in your seat and you're going to watch because you don't want to blink. You just don't know what happens when Keith One Time Thurman enters the ring and starts unloading. It's a pleasure for me now to introduce to you clearly one of the most exciting fighters today in the sport, Keith One Time Thurman.
Hey, how's everyone doing? It's a pleasure to be here on the show. Thank you for having me. I'm on my way home from the gym. Just put in many rounds of bag, shadow, abs. You know, we're getting in shape. We're shedding off that last little bit of belly fat, and I'm looking forward to December 14th.
Great. Thank you, Keith. We're going to open it up for questions now.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And our first question comes from Dan Raphael with ESPN.
Thank you, everybody. Hello, everybody. Keith, how are you today? Good to talk to you.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Keith, my question for you, a couple questions for you. When you fought Diego Chavez and won your interim title in July, it was a really, really good fight. And, of course, on that same card, your opponent, Soto Karas, he fought Andre Berto and also scored a big win, a knockout, an upset. I wanted to know if you saw that fight and what you thought about it, particularly given that he pulled the upset. You know, Berto, of course, was the guy that a lot of people thought would win the fight, but, you know, Jesus Soto Karas has, you know, pulled his share of upsets in the past.
Yeah, directly after my my battle, you know, I went in the back. I got some ice. I put it on my nose, and I came out to watch the main event. And, you know, I saw Soto. I saw his fire. I saw his passion and the warrior mentality within him. And he just wasn't backing down from anybody. He didn't care that he was the underdog going into the fight. And he just stuck to his game plan, and he kept showing the heart of a warrior, and he pulled up that the victory, you know. I saw a very tough fighter in Soto Karas, and I'm expecting the same thing on December 14th.
Keith, when you were watching that battle unfold and watching him take Andre apart, did you think to yourself, you know what, I may be in the ring with this guy soon. I just won a belt. This is my same weight class. You know, we're both with Golden Boy, that this was a fight that you might see yourself in down the road? And were you taking notes about it, or were you thinking it wasn't going to happen?
I was honestly just watching the fight as it was happening because the fight was so close. I didn't know where it was going to go, so I didn't have an assumption this guy might be my next opponent. But as soon as he dropped Berto and it was over, you know, I knew that it was a possibility, and I've seen him in the past fighters like Marcos Maidana and things like that. So, you know, he's a great warrior, and I'm very happy and excited to step in the ring with him, finishing off my year, 13 come December 14th.
All right, one other question for you, Keith. You know, you're one of the top up-and-coming welterweights in the weight class. Obviously, you've been in some exciting fights. We know the kind of punching power that you have. The fight with Diego Chavez was really outstanding. I wonder, from your point of view, how long until you think that you should be, or maybe you already do, should be mentioned to be in the really big welterweight fights against the likes, maybe against a Broner or even a Mayweather or somebody like that?
This fight right here is what we call the icing on the cake. This will get the job done, because after this year, no one can say that Keith Thurman has not been tested, that they haven't put him in with anybody. Unless if you want to say that there's nobody besides champion, you know. So I've been doing my thing. I've been passing every test, and I got one more test to pass this year come the 14th, being Soto. And after that, hopefully the door will be wide open for that world title shot.
Got you. Thank you. I also had one question for Soto Karas. Eric, are you translating?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dallas.
Terrific. Eric, I had a similar question for him as I asked Keith about, I know he was probably getting ready to go into the ring against Andre Berto, but I'm wondering if he had a chance to watch Keith's fight against Chavez on that undercard, and if he had any thoughts about it, and what his take was on that performance, and did he think maybe he would be at some point with a victory against Berto fighting against Keith, you know, in the near future?
La pregunta es para ti, Jesús. Obviamente tú te estabas preparando para la pelea de Berto, pero tuviste la oportunidad de ver la pelea de peleó Thurman. Viste la pelea y pensaste en algún momento quizás podría pelear con él.
Pues mira, pues sí, pues de hecho estábamos en el camerino, ¿no? Nos estamos alistando cuando estaba la pelea de Keith Thurman con Diego Chavez. Pues la verdad, pues no me pasó por la mente que iba a pelear con él, ¿no? Pero pues al igual lo vimos. Sabemos que en este deporte tenemos que estar preparados para que mi empresa Golden Boy y mi manager Francisco Espinosa me pongan. Entonces, pues después de la pelea sí se platiqué con mi manager y me dijo que posiblemente estaba una pelea con Keith Thurman, y entonces pues yo dije, okay, vamos a agarrarla. Es una gran oportunidad que me están dando de pelear por el título interino de la WBA. Muy emocionado, la verdad que sé que es una pelea fuerte, es un gran peleador, pero pues al igual que Berto, vamos a ir con todo para ganar ese título.
You know what, the truth is, I was preparing for my fight. I was in the locker room getting ready for Berto. I wasn't really thinking about his fight. Yes, they had the TV on and I was watching a little bit, but more than anything, I was getting ready for Berto, and that was, you know, my concentration was for that fight. But it wasn't until after the fight, you know, that I talked to my manager, Francisco Espinosa, and Golden Boy, and the opportunity came to fight Keith Thurman, and I said, yes, I do what I always do. I prepare, and I'm always ready for anybody. And that's what happened in this fight. I'm excited for the opportunity. I've been waiting for this, and I'm getting ready like never before, kind of like I did for Berto.
So, Eric, did he finally watch the fight at some point later on? And if so, what was his take on the type of fighter that Keith Thurman is?
Finalmente, tuviste la oportunidad de ver la pelea con Thurman. Después, has tenido la oportunidad de ver la pelea de Thurman. ¿Y qué piensas de él como peleador?
Mira, pues la verdad no he tenido la oportunidad ni me gusta ver videos de mis peleadores, ¿no? De mis contrincantes. Lo único que puedo decir que es un peleador joven, fuerte, que está en la antesala de ir por un título mundial, es campeón interino, pero igual no estamos, los dos estamos en la misma raya para ir por peleas grandes. Entonces yo creo que ninguno de los dos no vamos a dejar. Mi opinión de él es de que es un gran peleador, pero al igual no me intimida. Yo tengo que hacer mi trabajo para salir con ese título para los Mochis de Sinaloa.
The truth is, I really don't like watching videos, so no, I haven't really seen his fight. What I do know is that he's young and he's strong and he's hungry, and we're both pretty much in the same position. We're ready for major fights. Yes, he's a world champion, an interim world champion, but I feel that both of us are not going to back down, and we're ready for the bigger fights and for the world title fights. So this is a good opportunity for me, and I just feel that I have to win this fight so I can take it back to Los Mochis.
All right, guys. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Sona Cross. Appreciate your time, guys.
Our next question comes from Javier Gorbea with Claridad Puerto Rico.
Sí, la pregunta, mi primera pregunta es para Thurman. Thurman, Richard mencionó que tú tienes sobre 90% de knockout, pero a mí me parece que tú tienes más skills boxísticos que Carras. ¿Entiendes tú que debes boxear un poco más o entiendes tú que tienes la fortaleza para, si la pelea se convierte en una pelea cuerpo a cuerpo, noquear a Soto Carras, como hizo, por ejemplo, alguien como Maidana?
Question is through Keith. Richard mentioned that you have over a 90% ratio in knockouts. But I've noticed that you can box. You have boxing skills. Do you feel that you have to box against Soto Carras, or are you willing to go toe to toe and try to bang it out so you can knock him out, kind of like the way Maidana did?
You know, I can box, I can punch. And a lot of times, sometimes I'll have a game plan on, do I want to be on the inside or the outside before I even step in the ring. So far, I'm just ready for this fight. I'm ready to plant my feet. I'm ready to throw big punches. You know, being my nickname being one time, I'm always looking for that one shot. I love ending fights early. I love going home early and giving fans the knockout that they came to see. So, you know, I'm gonna bring my best. I'm gonna box sharp. I'm gonna stay sharp, but I'm also gonna be looking for those big punches.
Sí, obviamente, yo puedo hacer las dos cosas. Me puedo fajar y pelear, y también puedo boxear. Antes de entrar a una pelea, yo siempre tengo en mi mente, voy a pelear adentro o quiero pelear afuera. Para esta pelea es diferente. Yo me estoy preparando para todo. Obviamente, mi nombre es One Time, me dicen One Time, es mi apodo. Entonces, siempre voy a estar bien, buscando el knockout. Siempre voy a atinar golpes grandes para tratar de parar la pelea, para darle a la afición lo que quieren ver, un knockout. Entonces, yo voy a querer hacer eso y lo voy a hacer en la pelea, pero voy a estar listo para todo.
Ahora, mi próxima pregunta es para Soto Carras. En caso de que Thurman decidiera irse cuerpo a cuerpo, ¿entiendes tú que eso te favorecería a ti, debido a que ese ha sido el estilo prácticamente toda tu carrera, Soto Carras?
A ver, deja traducir.
Well, okay.
Traducir en inglés,
sí.
Por favor. The question is for Jesus. Jesus, obviously, you understand the kind of fighter that Thurman is, and you feel that if he goes toe-to-toe, it's going to favor you because you've been a fighter that likes to go toe-to-toe pretty much your entire career.
Pues sí, mira, este es uno de mis estilos que me ha caracterizado, ¿no?, durante todo lo largo de mi carrera. Más sin embargo, ahora tenemos otro estilo de boxeo con más inteligencia, con las mismas ganas, ¿no?, con la misma entrega de Soto Carras, con los huevos bien puestos, nomás de que ahora con un poco más de inteligencia. Entonces, sabemos boxear, tenemos poder también, sabemos trabajar cuerpo a cuerpo, hacer laterales, movimientos. Entonces, al sol que me toque, la voy a tener que bailar. Lo único que sí puedo decir que va a ser una gran pelea para la afición. Y si se me pone eso por tú, tenemos el aguante, tenemos, como debo repetir, tenemos las bolas bien puestas para hacer el trabajo bien ahí arriba del ring.
Yes, well, obviously, I've been a fighter that's been characterized as an aggressive fighter that likes to go toe-to-toe. But lately, I've been boxing a little bit more. I've been a little smarter, a little more intelligent. That's what I've been working in the ring. But as always, if it comes down to it, I have the balls to go toe-to-toe. And if I need to, then, you know, obviously it's going to favor me, and I feel that I'm accustomed to that style, and I'm going to do what it takes to win. But, you know, still, obviously there's a little bit of skill involved and a game plan to be smart, and, you know, that's always going to be in the back of my mind.
Just one quick more comment for Richard. That's a great undercard. Thank you very much for putting that fight together. We as media appreciate that.
Oh, thank you very much, and it's my pleasure. First and foremost, I'm a fight fan as well, and I love to sit there and watch great fights just like you guys. And that's one of the reasons why I'm making all these fights.
Thank you, Richard. We appreciate it.
Our next question comes from Lim Satterfield with TheRingTV.com.
Hey, Keith, and Richard, and everybody. Two questions, one for Richard and one for Keith. Keith, you know, I've talked to you several times. Dan, Raphael pretty much, had the other questions answered. But you're kind of a rare breed. I guess the best word to describe you is unscripted. You really like what you do, and there's no hesitancy in you to stand and fight. You called out Floyd Mayweather two or three fights ago. What do you like about your job?
Really, what I like about my job is that it brings the best out of me, you know. Also that I'm kind of my own boss. It's always been my dream to show up to work when you want to show up to work, you know, and clock in and clock out whenever you feel. But besides that, you know, boxing just brings the best out of me, you know. Each day in the gym, I'm developing as a fighter, just like each day in life I'm developing as a man. So, you know, I mature in the ring and I mature out of the ring practically almost at the same rate. So that's the number one thing that I love about boxing the most, is how it brings the best out of me inside and outside of the ring.
And you're not shy either about kind of trying to take boxing back to the old days where, you know, you had Bernard Hopkins, you had Leonard Hearns Hagler. You've said that you want to be like those guys. Can you talk about how you try to bring that mentality into the ring and your overall approach to how you execute?
Growing up in the world of boxing, surprisingly, I actually was not much of a boxing fan. It was only once when I started to do my research and my history into the sport of boxing that I fell in love with all the old school fighters. I mean, practically all of them, you know. I mean, it's the way that they fought, it's the way that they handled themselves, and the fact that they would accept anybody, you know. All you had to do was walk up to them in the street and say, yo, I'm going to knock you out. And they're saying, where's the contract? Let's put one together right now, you know. So that was the main reason that kind of had me call out Floyd Mayweather on my first appearance on the big network. Was, you know, here I am, I'm a young dude coming up in the rank, and I'm letting the whole world of boxing know who my actual target is. Doubt me as much as you want, but you are going to watch me through my career climb that ladder and get to the destination that I foresaw, the one that I told you about, and that's Floyd Money Mayweather. And Jesus Soto Carras is one of those stepping stones that I got to get by if I want to make those dreams come true.
Thanks a lot, Keith. Richard, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did that, when he did that, what was your initial thought right then and there, and what have you thought and seen in him since then?
What do you mean, when he did what?
When he called out Floyd.
Well, you know, when you are the, I don't blame him, and he's the kind of fighter who really means it. I mean, he's like, he's not afraid of anybody. He'll fight anyone and anywhere and anytime, and usually for the one, once he fights, it's one time, because that's the only time they get a chance, and he'll knock them out. That's how exciting this guy is. I mean, this is must-see TV, and of course he wants to fight Floyd Mayweather. Who doesn't want to fight Floyd Mayweather? And the fact is that the 147-pound weight class is so loaded, whether, you know, it's an Alexander Porter, the Sherman Soto Carras, you have, of course, the Broner Maidana, you have the Victor Ortiz, Luis Colasso, you have the Mayweathers, you have the Khans, you have the, I mean, the list goes on and on and on with all these great fights and fighters and the great matchups, and obviously the top of the ice, the top, you know, the cherry on the top is Floyd Mayweather, and everybody wants to fight him because not just because of the money, but, you know, when you have an opportunity to go and test your skills against the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. That's what the guys like a Thurman wants, or that's what the Soto Carras wants as well. That is what gets them going, and who knows? I mean, if Soto Carras keeps on winning the way he's been winning, or if Keith Thurman keeps on ripping through the welterweight division, then yes, of course, at one point there will only be one man standing, and that one man standing will be Floyd Mayweather, and then you're going to get a fight like that done. But that's more and more you start getting people getting excited about fights like that. And you just have to build the momentum a little bit. And you guys all know that I don't believe in the principle of marinating. So I like to get fights done when they can get done. But there's a time for everything. And for Keith, I know, and for Soto Carras as well, each one of them faces a very stiff test here on December the 14th at the Alamo Dome.
Last question for you. If he is successful, Mel asked this earlier, how far away do you think he is from a title shot? Would it be early next year, late next year?
Well, this is a title fight. Based on what I've been told or what I've heard is that I think Broner is being elevated to super champion because of his many accomplishments and many multiple titles he has won in different weight classes. So that would make this a full-blown world title fight. But whether a title is on the line or not, I think for the fan it doesn't really matter. We just all know that this is a great matchup, and he is ready, either one, with Thurman or Soto Carras, they're obviously ready to fight anyone in that weight class. I mean, the winner of that fight, for example, against the winner of Broner and Maidana, I mean, I know we've seen already Maidana in action with Soto Carras, but I mean, this is the kind of matchups which I like to see as a fight fan.
Awesome, Richard. Thanks a lot. See you guys next month.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we have one more question from John Whistler, and then we'll wrap it up. John?
Okay.
Okay.
John?
Richard?
Hey, how are you?
Okay. Hey, just to reiterate, I was trying to make sure I have this right. You talked about some of the lower undercard fights. You got Rasheed Warren on there.
Yeah, so we have Rasheed Warren on there against Jose Silveira. We have Jermaine Taylor against J.C. Candelo on there. We have Robert Easter Jr., who is a 7-0 with 7 knockouts, a very exciting fighter, lightweight. We have him against Hardy Paredes from Chile. Then we have Jamal Herring with 5-0 going in against Lance Williams. And then we have Canelo's brother, Ricardo Alvarez, with a record of 27-4 with 20 knockouts, going in against Rod Salka with 18-2. And then we get to the televised portion, which will be opened up by the WBA light heavyweight world title defense of Beybut Shumanov against the undefeated Tomas Kovacs. And then are the two fights which we had the fighters on the call today, Leo and Seda and Thurman and Soto Carras. And then we have Broner and Maidana. And by the way, for those of you who want to make a note on that, the Broner and Maidana media call is going to be on December the 4th at noon, my time, Pacific time.
One other thing, Richard. This is kind of a little bit off the subject. Has Broner vacated his lightweight belt?
I believe he has been given until December the 15th to decide. Based on what I've heard, I think he is going to give up the belt. But I haven't gotten any confirmation. But I think the likelihood that he's going to be fighting at 135 is rather slim. And what we did get from the WBC confirmation that if and when Broner does vacate, Omar Figueroa will be elevated to full champion.
Yeah, that's what I was driving at. I know Omar is nursing his hands, trying to get them back to health.
what are your plans for him for next year?
Well, my plan, first of all, I'd like to get the Broner weight class issue resolved within the next few days, and then have the WBC present Omar Figueroa with a world title in San Antonio on December the 14th, maybe during the fights in the ring. And then as soon as Omar is ready, which I'm told is going to be sometime in the first quarter, we will be ready, and I know fight fans will be ready, so can't wait to have him back. And so we're just waiting to get the okay from him and from his manager as well, from Al Haymon.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I think that is it. I want to thank you all for being on the card. I think there was a lot of excitement. These guys, Santa Cruz and Seda and Thurman and Soto Coraz, they all want it. They all want that title. They all want to win. They know they're in exciting weight classes. They're going to come to fight. And when you can fight in front of 20, 30,000 people, I think that just adds an extra element of excitement to the card. Again, thank you for Showtime for putting together this unbelievable quadruple header, and thank you to San Antonio for being a great host on December the 14th. I look forward to seeing you all December the 14th in San Antonio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. That concludes today's conference call.